Well, the U.S. continues to react to the latest guidelines coming out of the CDC on the pandemic and COVID front. And the latest one there for people who have tested positive, the isolation time getting brought down from 10 days to 5 days, though the CDC does recommend strict mask use for people who have tested positive. And of course, I raise the question of what masks should they be using, or maybe more broadly, struggles that some Americans have had when it comes to getting the top tier line of masks, N95s. And for more on that, I want to bring on one of the leading mask manufacturer groups, American Mask Manufacturers Association founder and president Lloyd Armbrust joins us here alongside Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamlani. And Lloyd, appreciate you taking the time. I mean, when we talk about masks, obviously we've come a long way in this pandemic. N95s, of course, being kind of the gold standard, those used in healthcare. But we haven't necessarily seen a huge push in really getting those to Americans, and people have been kind of, you know, earlier in the pandemic, we saw a lot of images of people, you know, on the extreme fronts using underwear, bandanas, whatever they could find. And given what we know, there are some people saying, you know, it's surprising to not have the government make a larger push for N95s now. So, I mean, what's your take on maybe all that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Zach. And thanks for having me. I mean, it's pretty crazy when you compare us to other countries like South Korea, who the moment that the pandemic struck there, they sent every South Korean, I think it was 10 or 20 KF94s, which is their sort of N95 standard there. And if you look at their case rates and their death rates, it's far, far less on a per capita basis than us. So it does seem like a no-brainer that the greatest country in the world would take a similar science-based approach, but that hasn't been the fact.
Lloyd, I know that you've written to the president about this, really offering a lot of your clients the opportunity to provide these masks to Americans through, I guess, a federal contract, essentially. We know that initially, to Zach's point, in the start of the pandemic, supply was an issue, supply chain constraints were there. Now we don't have that problem. What's the situation, and what could the federal government really do?
I mean, they could take a similar approach to other governments, and we're even seeing Connecticut do this, right? Sending, millions of masks to their citizens. I think it's a really smart approach. I think it's something that was initially pitched at the start of the pandemic in the United States, partnering with the postal system to send every American a certain number of masks. It's kind of a no-brainer from a science-based approach. I think the reason we haven't seen it in the United States is because of the sort of weirdly political take that masks have taken. People, I think, don't have the political energy to be talking about masks. And at least when we spoke to folks very high senior at the White House, that's kind of what we got from them, that it was just something they really didn't want to tackle, and they chose to go for vaccines instead.
Right. And we know there have been sort of issues, not just with the mask, but also with testing. And we're finally getting some response there after a lot of advocacy. To your point, though, some state level governments have been taking it on, Connecticut being just one of them, that is recently saying that they're going to send not just the mask, but also the at-home test kits to the state's residents. We could be seeing that more at a state level. Have you talked to state governors to maybe increase the supply there?
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations. You know, I'm based in Texas. Initially, we, you know, worked with the state government to supply masks for all of the Texas teachers and situations like that. Again, I think the weirdly political angle that masks have taken so some states have decided to sort of step away from masks just because it doesn't meet their base's needs. But I think that as we really start focusing on the science, one of the things that I love seeing now in the media is that everyone is talking about you don't need a cloth mask. That's not going to protect you. Like, you really need at a minimum a surgical mask, or even better, an N95 mask. And I think, like, as a lot of folks are starting to really understand that message, they're taking it into their own hands. That's what we're seeing with our members. And I'm also a mask manufacturer. We are seeing more consumer traffic and consumer sales than we've ever gotten from governments or hospital systems.
Well, that leads to my question, which is, you know, why then push for government attention if consumers are taking it in their own hands, are getting the message, and you're seeing that response? Is it, you know, basically a good chance to get a really lucrative government contract at this point? Is that something that's sort of appealing, or is it more than that?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, the reason to get a government contract, which wouldn't be that lucrative, the thing that we pitched to them was basically maintaining operations of the 30 mask manufacturers that we represent all across the United States. And the idea for that would be just supply chain resiliency. So what we're looking for from the government is sort of a standing order to keep the machines running, to keep, you know, paying rent and things for that, things like that, so that in the next pandemic or the next wave, we will actually be here and not have to rely on consumers. Fortunately, America is being America and the market is being the market, and it's actually responding and paying the bills at this point. But at some point, you know, Omicron's going to go down. Maybe there's not a next wave, and then all of that manufacturing will go away if there's not a market to support it.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, too, around, I guess, some of the earlier excuses as to what we heard in regards to N95s was that, no, save them for healthcare workers. And though they might be more effective in blocking, COVID and reducing the spread, mm-hmm. you just got to leave it for them because they're in a riskier situation. I mean, that it seems like you're saying that that storyline is now not true. That manufacturing has made it so that you can meet both sides of demand there. I mean, what are you seeing in terms of, I guess, what made that so? Was it maybe a change in messaging or just kind of stepped up progress from all the manufacturers you represent?
I mean, Zach, I don't know that it was really ever true except for about 5 minutes, to be honest. I mean, we did have a shortage for a couple of minutes, as you mentioned, where people were turning their T-shirts into masks. But it was over very, very quickly. And that was one of the things we were really pushing the White House on was, and in fact, was the whole reason we wrote the letter. The CDC and OSHA and the government was saying, save masks because we don't have enough in the United States. And we actually formed our group to prove to the administration that that wasn't the case, to show them, actually look at our factories, look at our production numbers. We have enough. In fact, at the time we wrote that, which was early this year, we were starting to shut down manufacturing lines just because there wasn't enough demand for such things.
Especially when you think about the messaging earlier on about N95s and whether or not, if that was out there, maybe people wouldn't have turned to some of these other things like bandanas earlier on. But all very interesting. Lloyd Armbrust there, American Mask Manufacturers Association founder and president, alongside Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamani. Appreciate the time. Interesting chat.